chat with Eric Engels, our Sportsnet Montreal Canadiens insider. Eric, how are you doing today? It's a game day.
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. It's good to have regular season hockey back on the TV. It was a fun first night, and I don't imagine it will get any less fun on night number two.
Me neither. I think it should be great. Montreal-Toronto, long-standing rivalry coming out of a playoff series. Let's get at it.
Absolutely. Season opener tonight against the Leafs, a team that probably has some redemption on their mind at home in front of their own fans for the first time in a long time. How do you feel the Habs can weather that inevitable opening storm from the Leafs tonight? I know they don't have Matthews or anything, but I'm sure there's going to be a push early from this Toronto Maple Leafs team.
Well, I think Montreal has to weather its own storm, too. They don't have Carey Price. They don't have Joel Edmondson. They don't have Shea Weber. They don't have Paul Byron. I could keep going. There's a couple more players, Sammy Niku. Philip Deneau is gone. Jesperi Kotkaniemi is with the Carolina Hurricanes. Granted, a couple players came in here. Mike Hoffman's not available. You know, like this Canadiens team has been through a ton of adversity over the last year. They have been the underdogs virtually everywhere they've gone. And that'll be the case again tonight, even against a Toronto team that doesn't have Austin Matthews with them. And, you know, there is an animosity and rivalry factor that should stimulate both teams. It's the first game of the year. It's going to be exciting. Both teams are going to be interested in playing the game. You know, if you watched the hockey last night, it really is a dramatic jump from what you saw in the preseason, like right off the hop immediately. And I hope that's the case in this game. You know, there's always the threat that it could be a little bit disjointed. You know, teams are not operating as well-oiled machines in game one. But, you know, if you go back to January of last year, I think the first game was a great game between Toronto and Montreal. And I think, you know, then they played another 16. And I just think it's going to be a great game tonight, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, me as well. And you kind of mentioned that the Montreal Canadiens are a bit of underdogs. There's a lot of people talking, not giving them much of a chance going into the season. What, if any, reasons would you give to suggest that the people doubting the Montreal Canadiens are wrong?
Well, I actually did predict they'd make the playoffs this year, although that's more based on a feeling than something real tangible. Because honestly, you look at what happened in the offseason with Weber gone and Deneau gone and Kotkaniemi gone, and understandably Christian Dvorak coming in and Mike Hoffman and all these guys, you know, and David Savard. I think there's going to be a bit of a drop off at 5-on-5, but I do believe that their power play is going to be a lot better. And, you know, you look at, you know, over the years, I think it's really like usually 9 or 10 of the top 12 power plays in the league, those teams make the playoffs. And I think the Canadiens might be good enough to finish top 10 in the power play this year with what they have, with Cole Caulfield here for an entire season, with Mike Hoffman soon to be coming back into the Canadiens lineup, with Jonathan Drouin healthy and ready to get back into playing games. You know, Jeff Petrie's up at the top of the first unit. There's a lot of different pieces there. Dvorak is a good power play player that I think could stimulate the power play. Penalty killing, they finished 23rd in the league last year. Granted, they've lost a number of players that are key to penalty killing, but you saw what they did in the playoffs. You know, they really found a recipe to be successful on the penalty kill. I think there was one point where they killed off like 38 straight penalties. They finished 92%. So if they can bridge the gap between what happened in the regular season and the playoffs, which I believe they can, because they found a way to work together, I think they can have a strong penalty kill. And it's really going to come down to goaltending. You know, Jake Allen did a really good job last year. And if he can pick up where he left off and give the Canadiens a good start so that Carey Price comes back and is feeling good about himself and healthy and ready to go again, that's going to be the big key for this team. You know, goaltending is supposed to be its strength. We don't know how long Carey Price will be gone. We know it'll be a minimum of 30 days. But Mark Bergevin seemed really confident that he'll be back and that he'll be okay. And all the people that I've spoken to have suggested that Carey's doing okay. So, you know, the hope is that he comes back and is able to do what he did in the playoffs, because he was magnificent. And, you know, I think Jake Allen is a really good goaltender, and the two of them as a combination could be one of the best tandems in the league. So that's what they have going for them. Whether or not it all works out, you know, you need so many things to go right to win in this league and to make the playoffs. And right now with the parity in the league, there's so little separating each team, regardless of what you think of this one or that one on paper. So, you know, that's why I say when I have them making the playoffs, it really is based on feeling, because I think that they're a team that I think anybody looking at them on paper would say, you know, they're a bubble playoff team, a team that'll be in the mix. I just happen to think that they might just make it instead of might just miss them. So we'll see what happens.
For sure. And yeah, I agree. Jake Allen was a great secondary option when Price was hurt down the stretch there. And it's his net now, so we'll have to see how it goes. Nick Suzuki got a big payday yesterday, 8-year, $63 million extension. Just wanted to grab your thoughts on this deal for the young number one center on the Habs.
Well, my thoughts are that it's extremely encouraging for the Canadians that Nick Suzuki wanted to talk deal at this stage. You know, he had every reason to bet on himself, wait around, potentially sign a 3 or 4 year deal and walk away with a much bigger payday after that if he continues on the same projected line that he's been on. You know, the thing with the Canadians, too, is why they got this done now, you know, versus where they were at with Jesperi Kotkaniemi and allowing that get to an offer sheet situation, is they know exactly what Suzuki is and what they believe he's going to be. And there's been no evidence to suggest that he won't become, you know, a bona fide top line center in this league. He's been in that role, you know, since his rookie season, pretty much since, you know, 3/4 of the way through his rookie season. And he's done really well. He's put up more points per game in the playoffs than he has in the regular season. So he stepped up at the right times. You know, the biggest thing that I take away from it is that it's an 8-year deal. It's a cap hit that's less than $8 million a season. And 4 years from now, when Nick Suzuki was slated to potentially get to unrestricted free agency, he'd probably be looking at a much higher number, especially with hockey-related revenue likely to rebound, you know, and inflate player salaries by then. You know, where the pandemic obviously affected revenue of the league. It's bouncing back a little bit now, maybe even stronger than people imagined when they were making projections in 2020 and even last summer. And, you know, we've got a couple more seasons, I think, to go through, but there is going to come a point where a lot of the guys who signed bridge deals, you know, think of a guy like Elias Pettersson specifically, is going to have a case for a really big contract coming out of that. But also that pandemic affected reality where all of a sudden the revenues will finally be in a place to really rebound and grow is going to help his case. So I think it was essential for the Canadians to get this done now, and they have to be thrilled about it that Nick Suzuki wanted to sign up for 8 years and leave, you know, a potentially a bigger paycheck on the table because he's betting on himself now and believes in himself now and is happy with the deal that was offered to him. And that's a healthy, good situation, and that's what you want to have with your number one center. So I think all parties got to be pretty happy with that one.
Yeah, for sure. We're here with Eric Engels, our Montreal Canadiens insider from Sportsnet. I see that Brett Kulak is paired up with Jeff Petrie, it looks like, for tonight's game. Is there questions about this Canadiens decor with Weber not on the team? I really like Brett Kulak, but he's kind of been that fourth to sixth defenseman for most of his career.
Well, he's kind of been that fourth to seventh defenseman for most of his career.
Enough.
And part of the reason he is with Jeff Petrie is because they have familiarity playing with each other. And there's a few new pieces on this blue line. And with Joel Edmondson injured to start the season, you know, the Canadians really had a hard time trying to figure out who to mix and match with who, because I think Dominic Ducharme is really dead set on balancing out the minutes a lot more than we saw in the playoffs last year, where they virtually relied on only four defensemen. Without Shea Weber, obviously that's a huge gap. You know, David Savard has got to come in and really play as the best version of himself, which I think we saw in the playoffs with Tampa Bay, but didn't quite see with Columbus before he got to Tampa Bay. You know, Ben Chiarot is a key piece on this blue line, much more so as the regular season moves along and you can get away with a little bit more and he plays that nasty physical style that is quite intimidating. He's a throwback defenseman. You know, I think that's the dynamic that the Canadians like within their blue line, but there's no question this is the biggest area of concern on this team. Can this defense hold up Well, Chris Weidman coming in from the KHL, where he was named top defenseman because he put up a ton of points there, be able to redeem his NHL career here in Montreal and bring some offensive flair to a blue line that desperately needs it? Will Alex Romanov be able to take that next step this year? You know, these are the big questions being asked here. And, you know, because there was so many new bodies, they are looking for that familiarity factor between Kulak and Petrie. And I think it's a great opportunity for Kulak because A, he's up for a contract this season, and B, you know, he has really proven himself to be a very solid defenseman all throughout his time in Montreal. And he's never really given that much of a fair shake because they don't see him as a special teams guy. So his role has really been reduced to just 5-on-5 ice time. And, you know, with Edmondson coming in, serving as the ideal partner for Petrie, that kind of bumped Kulak out of a spot. So, you know, now he's got an opportunity to show that he deserves to be in the lineup all the time. I think he's a really, really good skater. He's strong coming out of his own end. He moves the puck well, good first pass. I'd like to see him bring more offense with those skills. You know, those skills should translate into more offense. And if they did, they would help him secure more of a full-time job playing night in, night out. And, you know, you look at the depth of the blue line, it's thin. It was thin a year ago, and it's thinner now without Shea Weber there and with Joel Edmondson injured. So, you know, this is a huge area of concern for the Canadiens, and there's going to have to be some surprises for it not to be.
Just a couple more on some individual players here. Where does Adam Brooks fit into this lineup? Is he going to draw in tonight, or do you think it'll be Cedric Paquette on that fourth line?
Cedric Paquette's going to play tonight. Adam Brooks is going to have to find his way to acclimatize in Montreal, understand how they do things, what their systems are and all that. But I think down the line, it's going to be a really good opportunity for Adam Brooks to establish himself. And, you know, I think, you know, talking with different people, he's a guy with a lot of talent, with offensive talent. Is he good enough to play in the top six? The answer seems to be no. And is he suited to be a fourth line center? Well, the answer also kind of seems to be no when he's up against a gritty type of guy. You know, that was what our friend Sean McKenzie was kind of saying to me today. And I could see that based on what Brooks' skill set is, what he's been able to do in limited time in the NHL, what he's done in the AHL, putting up numbers that, you know, he's just kind of one of those in-between guys. But he could have a great opportunity with Montreal and the way they like to play. And obviously with the depth of Toronto's forward group was kind of pushed out of the pack. So, you know, he comes to Montreal. I think he's got a real opportunity because I don't see Cedric Paquette as a night in, night out fourth line center. I just don't think at this stage of his career that he's going to be able to handle that responsibility every single game. So, you know, he's in that mix. Ryan Poehling, who went down to Laval after what was not a great camp, you know, he had a great opportunity to come in and with a job wide open for him to take that fourth line center role. And it wasn't that he played bad. He just didn't grab it. And I think, you know, they'll use some development opportunity for him in Laval and give him another look if they need to. If it's not working out between Brooks and Paquette, they've got options now. That's why they made that waiver claim. So we'll see what happens. But, you know, we're talking about the fourth line center job. I don't think it's the most pivotal job on the team, though naturally in a market like Montreal, there's a lot of scrutiny, whether you're the fourth line center or the starting goaltender or whatever it is. So we'll see what shakes out there. And I'm looking forward to seeing how Adam Brooks fits into the whole equation.
Jonathan Drouin, he took a leave of absence from the team last year in the last few regular season games and throughout the playoffs. How has he looked in camp, and what role do you think he fills for this Montreal Canadiens team up front?
He's looked great. He looks loose and free. He's in great shape. He's mentally, physically feeling well by all reports. You know, Josh Anderson, who's been living with him, has been talking him up quite a bit about how, you know, he feels and how he looks. And we've seen it for ourselves in terms of his demeanor. And just he just appears healthy and happy. And that's what he wanted, coming out of a situation where he was dealing with anxiety and insomnia for a number of years and didn't know how to deal with it and finally decided he needed a break from hockey. It's a great story. You know, the hope is that he comes back and has the best season of his career and that he gets exactly what he wants, that he's happy and enjoying the game. And if those things are happening, he's a game-breaking talent. You know, this is a guy that can really make a huge difference for the Canadiens this year at 5-on-5, certainly, definitely on the power play. He's a guy with the type of talent that could be a top producer in this league. It just hasn't happened so far throughout his career. You know, we've seen stints where he's unbelievable. We've seen stints where you can't figure out what's going on with him. Well, now we have better insight into that. So let's see what Jonathan Drouin looks like this year, because if he's the guy that was drafted third overall that has that ability and plays that way on a more consistent basis because he's dealing with the issues that he's had for a very long time and is better equipped to deal with them, and he's that on a more consistent basis, well, watch out. You know, this could be a phenomenal year for him that potentially ends with the Masterton trophy in his hands. And if that happens, I think Jonathan Drouin will be happy. I think Canadians fans would be thrilled for him. I think the management team and the coaching staff and all his teammates would be thrilled for him. And it would go a long way towards helping the Canadians secure that playoff spot that I suggested that they might grab.
Awesome. And yeah, everyone, you should be rooting for Jonathan Drouin this season, as a great story from him. I'm glad to hear that he looks healthy and happy. Just one more from me before I let you go, and that's on Cole Caulfield. He's now officially into his rookie year after mostly playoffs that he's played. Do you see him as a favorite for the Calder, and what are some realistic expectations for the young sniper?
Well, obviously Cole's a favorite for the Calder. I think he's the betting favorite for the Calder right now, but he's got some good company there. You've got Spencer, mostly guys that he's played with on that national development team in the U.S., but Spencer Knight will be in the mix. Another Hobie Baker candidate last year, I believe, will be in the mix, and Shane Pinto in Ottawa. I think he looked fantastic in the preseason. He's earned a job with the Senators. You know, Trevor Zegras, if he plays a full season in Anaheim, could be a candidate. You know, it was Zegras that said that Caulfield might score 40 goals this year. I'm not setting the bar that high. I watched a ton of Cole Caulfield before he came to Montreal. You know, I watched a ton of Wisconsin games. I watched him with the U.S. development team. And my belief going back then was that when this kid plays a full season in the NHL, if he gets a full 82 games in, he will score a minimum 24 goals in his first season. And nothing that I've seen from him since would have me move that line. Like, I do believe, and that would be a tremendous rookie season. You know, I do believe playing with Nick Suzuki and Tyler Toffoli to start, but he'll have good players to play with no matter where he moves around this lineup and what he can do on the power play and what his natural ability is. I think 24 goals is where I set the bar for him. I will not be surprised if he scores more than that. I do believe he'll score at least that much. And you know, the one thing you got to watch out with Cole Caulfield, you know, yes, he's going to have to develop from a defensive standpoint. He's going to have to develop from sustaining offensive zone pressure a little bit more and being less of a rush player. Those are things that need to happen. As a smaller player who's playing his first games in the NHL, you know, he played a very brief amount last year and played in the playoffs and played exceptionally well. But he's a much better playmaker than people realize. He's not just a goal scorer. He's not just a shot. His hockey sense is elite. His teammates believe he is an absolute elite talent. I believe that too. And I think he's going to show it this year.
Eric, thank you so much for your time. Looking forward to the Canadians and Leafs game. And I'm sure we'll chat more throughout the season and get updates on the Montreal Canadiens. Have a great rest of your day.
All right, you too.